perfect season. Now perhaps the sweetest premiership of all. And strike around the body. P.S. he loves it.
They've got the chocolates
and he might have the chicken.
All right, gather around, gather around. Look each other in the eyes. Put your game faces on and strap yourself in because it's time for the Monday Waffle Podcast.
A beautiful Sunday afternoon just passed. Another elimination final. And it was at the Fremantle Community Bank Oval, an oval steeped in history. You got the George Gorilicic stand to one end. You got the Fremantle Prison just on the outskirts there. Couldn't have asked for a better venue and day. And boy, whilst the game didn't deliver, the venue sure did.
Matty Fasalis on the Monday Waffle. I'm Andrew Murdoch. Thanks for your company on our penultimate episode for the season.
I know, I'm sad it's coming to an end. It feels like it's just begun. It raced through, didn't it?
Unbelievable. At the start of the year, we're going to take this podcast to a new dimension already to the end of the year. A lot of ideas we probably didn't get to and things like that, but it's been a good, fun year.
Maybe not a new dimension, but you know, we're skirting the edge of this dimension.
Download numbers have certainly been up, though. That is one thing we can say for certain. So, this week's Monday Rubble topic, we're going to get you into the rules. They've been around for a year now. We've had a good case study. We're going to dissect whether they should be around or not, but that's coming up later in the show.
First, we got to get to the South Fremantle Claremont final, which just happened. And, you know, whilst the game was underwhelming, 30 points, South Fremantle the victors. There were still some things that we want to talk about that we want to analyse. So I'll ask you,
yes,
Andy, what were three highlights from that match?
So obviously, I'll just let everyone know what happened if you weren't across it. South Fremantle got the job done. It's the first time that they'd won a prelim. They'd lost the last three. They'd been in the last three prelims, lost all of them. So it was good for them to get that hoodoo off their back. They won 9-9-63 to Claremont 4-9-33. Now, my three highlights were, one, the fast start from South Freo. You know, it's a big final, grand final spot on the line. They kick 3-0. That's just such a confidence boost that everyone's playing with confidence from there. You get those little nerves because you're in a final. Yes, we got the first goal, can't believe it. We got the second, we got the third goal. You beauty, 18-point buffer to go in for the rest of the game. That's number highlight one, number one. Obviously, in the next quarter, Claremont actually stole back the lead, but they still had that fast start was a highlight. Hayden Schloyth dominating the Sandover, not the reigning Sandover medalist, but a former Sandover medalist, just shows why he's such a good player, why formerly on an AFL list. 10 tackles, that's what you want in a big final. And finally, my third highlight, Noah Storm, the fullback for South Freo, kept Claremont's full forward Tom Lee scoreless and just to 2 kicks. That is what you want from your fullback in a big prelim.
That's a job well done.
That is a job well done. Hats off to you, Noah Storm. Storming into the grand final.
Well, I've got three for you, Andy. Subin's work in defence, unbelievable. Yeah, he had a great game.
Unlucky to miss out for me. I really liked the game of Subin. He played well. You know, General Hodge-like in the back line.
You're spot on. And Florenka's run through the midfield.
Massive from Florenka. You know, not the biggest name, but he was huge. He was everywhere on the weekend. You couldn't, like, go 3 minutes without spotting him. 28 posies, I think he had.
28 posies, you were spot on there.
Counting them up as I was watching.
And South...
I'll take my own stats. Don't trust the Waffles.
That's it. And South rebounding from an underwhelming final against Subi. I thought that was a real highlight. They weren't terrible against Subi, but they just sort of were a bit lacklustre.
Yeah.
And they sort of had a lot of criticism and came into this game under heavy scrutiny, and they really sort of took it to their critics.
We might be jumping ahead because we're going to talk about the grand final, obviously. But is it just a bit scary to think that these two, Claremont and South, have a great contest, a great battle? Are they really just second and third? Like, is Subi just too good? Is it just like Subi are just going to win and
so Subi and the rest? Is it? Yeah. I don't know. Yeah, we'll have to see, won't we? I mean, South, you don't forget, South did beat Subi earlier in the year. Just remember that. All right, two lowlights.
Yep. All right, my two lowlights were, it's a big final, prelim, grand final spot on the line. Aside from a 5-minute burst where Claremont kicked 3 goals, they only managed one outside of that. They kicked 4 goals for the game. They kicked 3 in about a 5-minute burst in the second quarter. you've got to be doing more than that. So well done to South Fremantle, but Claremont, they had to steal back momentum at no matter what cost. They had to steal it back somehow. That was my one. And Jeremy Goddard, Claremont ruckman, the big fella, 46 hitouts, highlight, 2 disposals, low light. In day and age where ruckmen more and more are trying to be like a fifth midfielder, and we know, Subi, you've got Lockie Delahunty, who does a great job of that, I feel like big Jeremy Goddard needed to do a little bit more, actually getting his hands on it, not just getting his palm on it to palm it down.
Good low lights. My low lights, the Lions were wasteful in front of goals. And I guess off the back of that,
the Tigers,
Tigers, what am I saying? Both from the feline family.
Yeah,
the Tigers were wasteful in front of goals. And I guess, you know, that you had that middle period stagnation where, you know, they were, what was it, 3-8?
Yeah.
And they just, you know, there was not, they didn't even kick a point for an extended period of time. It just stagnated. And I guess the second part of my lowlights, Kane Mitchell probably wasn't as dominant as we've seen him. And for a guy, a lot of people are tipping to be sort of around it with the Sandover. You'd sort
happening
of expect him,
speak.
Yeah, happening as we speak. You'd expect him to be a little more involved. All right, what's one thing you wish you'd seen from the game?
Well, I wish I'd seen Ian Richardson being able to finish off the season playing in a big final. He'd been in such great form, and it was just so heartbreaking to see him go down with injury earlier in the season. Just towards the end of the season, he'd been kicking bags of goals, and I think he really could have been the difference in Claremont needed a few goal kickers. That's what I wish I could have seen.
Yeah, no, it was really upsetting. I mean, you could see he was visibly distressed from having to miss out on the rest of the finals and retire from footy permanently, because he just can't go on. He's suffered that many injuries now, and it's always sad when you know, a prospect like that has their career cut short. On my end, a bit controversial here, but it would have been good to see another Western Suburbs rivalry. You know, over in Sydney, we have the Battle of the Bridge. Well, here between Subi and Claremont, you could have had the Battle of the Bree, you know.
The Battle of the what?
The Battle of the Bree, you know.
The
you
Bree.
Know. Yeah, you know how those Western Suburbs types like their cheese boards.
You say the Battle of the Triangle or something like
yeah,
that.
Yeah, the Golden Triangle.
The Battle
yeah.
of the Triangle. Oh, well, no, they're the Battle of the River now. Against, oh, yeah.
Well, yeah. I don't know what you'd call this battle, but it'll certainly be
the
a battle.
Grand final.
It'll be a tussle. All right.
Before we move on, so we can give each other a pat on the back on the grand final episode next week, who do you think's going to win the Sandover? We don't know yet. It's happening now as we record this. You'll know by the time you listen to it, most likely. But
I think Shaloif
yep.
is my pick. But I would like to see Delahunty win it, just because it's been a midfielder's medal for, you know, the last sort of decade, for quite a while.
Yep.
And as a ruckman, it would be very cool to see Delahunty win it.
I think Ben Sokol might win it, you know?
Wow, that would be cool.
A dynamic forward from Subi. He's had an incredible year. I reckon he might just pinch it. That's my big prediction.
Oh, smoking.
If not him, then Kane Mitchell. Or Jai Bolton, I reckon.
That's Jai Bolton to get 3.
Yeah, I think so.
That would be big.
Wouldn't put it past him, that's for sure.
All right. In the grand final, what are 3 things you predict?
So our 3 big
whilst
calls.
Whilst we're on the measures of predictions.
Yeah. Okay, my 3 big calls. You mentioned him earlier. Nick Subin, to draw on all his experience, both AFL and Waffle, to have a big leadership role. Steering the back line. He had about 8 or so marks in the prelim. I think he's going to really steady the ship, not let anything get past him. I think he's going to have a really big influence and help, this is my big call, help South Fremantle get over the line with a big win. That's my big call. And Schloeth, I think he'll be the Simpson medalist, but I'm going to pick Sokol to kick 5 in a losing Subi outfit. They're my big calls, Matt. How about you?
All right.
Well, what do you think of my big calls first?
Well, We've got a bit of crossover here.
Yeah, I thought we might. Ben, we're both optimists. We're rude when we say that about poor old Subi, because he's been so good. But I feel like the Monday Waffle has been a bit cheering against them a bit, I think.
Well, you know, it's everyone loves an underdog story.
Exactly.
Ben Sokol to kick the mice.
Oh, yeah?
I think he will. I also thought Schloif might get the most touches. But I'm going to change that. I'm going to go Delahunty. Because Delahunty has had about 13 Team of the Week nominations. He's been in fine form, you know, all season. So why not? Let's go with Delahunty. I'll change that one.
So Delahunty for the Simpson medal is your big call.
Yep.
Yeah, that's a good call.
Let's go with that. And I'm going to go South to win by three.
Three points, I reckon.
Yeah.
So we're both tipping South.
Both tipping South.
Man, someone could come in here and make a pretty safe prediction and probably win the bragging rights ahead of us, I reckon. But, oh well, both going South.
That's it. We'll see. Time will tell.
All right. Are we ready to move on the Monday Waffle, Matt?
It's time for the Monday Rumble. Rumble in the jungle.
Let's get ready to rumble!
We've had a whole year of the Monday Rumble, a lot of topics. Who do you reckon? We've been sharing the podcast duties quite a number of times. Who's winning the Rumble off out of us at the moment, do you reckon?
Ooh.
I know I got you an embarrassing one the other day when you just admitted that, you just gave in.
That was
you must
a bad
have had a
loss.
Bad day that day.
I wasn't on my A game.
It's probably about even, and we don't have any judge, so it's going to be one of us having to judge. But this week's topic, the rules. Should they stay or should they go?
Should they stay or should they go? Look, I reckon...
I'll open the batting.
They should definitely go. They've made absolutely minimal difference, you know. People say, oh, yeah, it's helped with congestion. Has it? Not really. Like... The game still gets pretty congested at times. It's for me.
Are you basing this on any stats at all?
How can you get a stat?
Goal scoring,
I suppose you could look at stoppages and things like that.
Yeah, but I'm just wondering if you've got any stats. I don't have any stats. So
no,
I'm vibe.
That's not how the Dennis Monday Duda. Waffle rolls.
No.
We don't deal in stats.
No.
But look, as far as I'm concerned. I've seen a slight improvement. I'm going to give you that. I've seen a slight improvement in terms of congestion and stoppages, but it hasn't been significant. So what I want to see is a more, a full-on solution, something that covers all the bases. And I don't think the 666 rule is covering that. I think we need to basically put a cap on the number of interchanges that are being used. Right now, it's sitting, I believe, around the 90 mark. I want it pulled right back to the days, you know, where you couldn't keep rolling those interchanges. Mm-hmm. And I think as players become more tired, play will open up and you'll start seeing forwards kick those bags that we saw in the early 2000s and late 90s.
It's so interesting because I reckon it's so hard to tell. A year goes by. It's hard to remember, what was watching a footy game like a year ago compared to watching it now? Like, has anything even changed?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah?
Yeah, watch like an old game from the early 2000s.
Yeah. But I'm talking about
a game now.
The rules changed this year.
Yeah.
So I'm saying that's what we have to compare.
Well, that's
it to.
What I'm saying. It hasn't changed that much.
Yeah. Has it changed much this year?
I think the game's become a little bit looser.
A little bit more open.
There's been a few less stoppages. Yeah, a little more open. But I don't think. The aim was to open it right up and encourage more scoring. I don't think we've seen tremendous amounts of more scoring. And whilst there has been probably been a few less stoppages, it hasn't been significant. And I think rather than persist with this 666 rule, let's just wind back the interchanges because players are creating stoppages and running all day.
Yeah.
Because they can just get subbed off at any moment and then sub back on again. Whereas if we had like a soccer system, like substitutions almost, players would get tired out, play would open up, and you'd get goals, space, everything we want.
All right. Clarifying, are we talking about all the rules on this Monday Rumble or are we just talking about the 666?
I was starting with the 666, but if you want to broach another rule...
Arcing back to my debating days, the topic did say the rules, all the new rules. So just going to define that by saying all the new rules is what we're arguing over, not just the 666.
All right.
Because, and I'm...
Well, you open with... Give me your take on the 666 and then we'll move on to the next rule, like the kick-ins.
Yeah, okay. So I'm watched more AFL just I've just watched more, slightly more AFL this year than the Waffle. So I'm tiptoeing into AFL territory, which we don't like to do on the Monday Waffle. But what I've noticed there is, thanks to the 666, thanks to, I feel like there's, and it doesn't seem to make sense, but I feel like there's a lot more clearer, it does make sense. There's a lot more clearer, once it goes out of the centre clearance, straight into the forward line. I feel like there's a lot more of that, which creates exciting contests for me, I think. You know, you see a lot more ruckman grabbing it, and that's going into the other rule, but there's not these other half-forward flanks, half-forward wingmen running straight in, making it harder to get the clear clearance. I think that helps the 666. Otherwise, if the play's been going, it makes no difference, because everyone can just run out, if the play's been going for a while. But those initial stoppages, I think it does create more opportunities for a quick, good clearance into a nice lead or a big pack mark or a crumbing forward to run on.
Yeah. Yes.
Okay. Okay. Oh, sounds like you conceded it to me.
No, not conceding. Not conceding.
So you still think scrap the 666?
I'm saying replace it with a different rule.
Yeah, okay.
So at the moment, keep it because we have no other alternative. But really, what I want is a better fix. So scrap it and replace it with another rule.
And then I think one rule that you just can't argue with at all, and I'll call you a melon if you try to, the kick-ins. You know,
the kick-ins?
They've just been awesome. It makes no sense. Why on earth did we even have a rule where you had to kick it to yourself, like that? Something you don't do at any other stage in an AFL game to get out of the full back line. It's beautiful. Just run and play on.
Oh, that little chip kick is steeped in tradition. Why would you take that away from us? You know, it's a complete
quirk of the game.
It's a quirk of the game, and it demonstrates, you know, placement, poise, subtlety, that you can just give a little kick to yourself.
Let the game flow, Matt.
No, you need to reward people who that have that sort of delicate touch when they play the game. Anyone can grab a football and just lump it out of defence. Not everyone can do that little kick to themselves to encourage play.
God, that was nerve-wracking when you're a junior footy player, hey?
Oh, my goodness. Don't even get me started.
Stuff it up and get tackled. Oh, no. No, but I think it's great. Play on straight away. I think it's awesome. It makes sense.
On a more serious note, yeah. That rule I'm willing to concede.
Yes.
It's a good rule. And, I don't know why we didn't do it years ago.
Yeah, it's like, why was that even there in the first place? The other rules are there's the, you know, you got to give them more space when they're kicking out of fullback. Like, they go another 10 metres back. I think that's pretty good as well. Helps the game. Matt's nodding. He's conceding another.
Yeah, okay, that one's good. What about if you come off the mark, 50 metres? If you come off the mark 50 metres.
What do you mean?
You know, if you move off your mark, then it's 50 metres. It's 50 metre penalty.
You mean the one about the encroaching on the person when they give a 51?
No, it's like you. Yeah, I think it might be that one.
Yeah, that's interesting. Like, that was one that was like really hot at the start of the year. Then the players learned quickly, and it seems fine now. They all learnt really quickly, so it seems fine. The other one is the ruckman taking out of the ruck no longer as straight prior opportunity. That's cool as well.
That they can just take it and kick it.
Yeah. Matt's nodding again. He's not
no,
nodding,
no, I'm not
he's
nodding.
He's grimacing in a way that he doesn't really want to argue.
I'm making
either.
A contemplative smile. And my verdict is no. That's not a ruckman's job. A ruckman's job is to tap it out to either advantage or disadvantage. And ruckmen are not midfielders. They are ruckmen. And I'm sick of this hybridization of the position. Not every ruckman can be Brody Grundy, so let's even out the game and make it fair for all the other rucks in the league.
All right, Matt, what I'm willing to do is call it a tie on all the other rules, except for the kicking one, which means I win by one of rules, and that means I win the debate. What do you think?
Oh, we'll agree to disagree on that one.
A stalemate, but I think I've just got my nose in front.
You be the judge. Comment who won, Andy or Matt.
The mailbag's, it's overflowing, but try and get in there and we'll do our best to get to you. Thank you very much for tuning into the Monday Waffle. We'll catch you next week for the grand final recap.